Hey, earlier you heard me talk about my 10 secret ingredients to better unit planning. Well, today I got my 9 thoughts about successful daily lesson plans. Yes, because we got to have unit plans and we create daily plans based upon those unit plans so that we're addressing the needs of the kids.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. And now here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, last time we were together, I was talking about my 10 secret ingredients for making better unit plans. Yeah, because part of what I was talking to you about was that we've got to plan. And unit plans are the big picture. Well, not only do we have to use unit plans, not only do we have to be focused on the big picture, we have to be focused on the daily picture, the daily plans. We have to be doing two types of planning. We have to use unit plans, big picture, over longer time frame, and then the daily plans, which usually you do them on a weekly time frame. You're going to go from Monday to Friday, and do that for a couple of weeks based on your unit plan. Now, so today I'm talking my 9 thoughts for success with daily lesson plans. That's right, 9 of them. 9 thoughts for success with the daily lesson plans. So let me remind you about something with lesson plans. First of all, you need to be planning. Unfortunately, planning has been given a bad name because there are people who have decided that they got to make you plan their way. This is what you got to do. This is how you got to do it. And you got to do it my way or the highway type thing. Well, the problem with that is that what really needs to happen is that you need to be encouraged to plan with certain specific ingredients. All right. And we talked about those 10 last time with the unit plans. And today I've got my 9 for the daily plans. So let's talk a little bit about this. First of all, if you're going to plan, you got to take time. You got to make time to do it. You can't just write them out really quickly and then say, there we go, I'm good. Because if you do that, you haven't spent time reflecting on your class, your classes, the number of kids you got, who's in which class, how you're going to do this, right? It takes time. You need to have time to reflect. So after you've created your unit plans, what you want to do is you want to go back and you want to create your daily plans. And there are different formats. There are different templates you can use. And there are lots of different places to look for these. And I'll put some links in my show notes for you to go find some templates. But part of this is that you've got certain things that you should include in your daily plans. Because as you're sitting back and thinking, what am I going to do? How am I going to work? What am I going to teach? You also have to put it down in writing, because if you do that, then you're going to remember to do it. All right, you don't get caught up in the moment and forget and miss all of it. If you don't have reminders, you might totally forget to do any of it. Then maybe just get caught up in the story of the moment, and the next thing you know is 2 days have gone by and you haven't done anything that you needed to do. Right, that's what planning's all about, is that you're making your plans so that you can address what you need to with the kids, and not only address it successfully. So here are my 9 thoughts for success with daily lesson plans. So number 1, what are you trying to accomplish each day? You got to know that, and you want to write it down on the daily plan. This is that idea where you're reflecting back on your unit plan and the standards that are in your unit plan. And what you're doing here, and in some cases, you might be taught to make sure you have the essential question here. The point is that what should be on your daily lesson plans is what you're trying to accomplish for the day. What is it you're trying to teach? And this is based upon that unit plan, right? See, they go hand in hand, and you need to do them so that way you address what you need to address. So the first thought for success with daily lesson plans is, what are you trying to accomplish each day? It's got to have its own space on that daily plan. Number 2, you want to create opportunities to block and chunk your time. So when you're creating the daily lesson plan, you want to take the time frame that you have during the day. So let's say that you're in a high school and you have 50 minutes. Well, you want to block that time. That means that you take the 50 minutes and you break it down into sections of time paying attention to what you're going to do in your lessons for the day. So maybe you have an opening that's going to last 3 minutes, and then you have a introductory activity that's going to take about five, and then you're going to have a review that's going to take about 12 minutes. You know, you see what I'm saying? You break it down like that. If you're in elementary school, you do the same thing. If you're in high school and you have an hour and 10 minutes, you do the same thing. If you're in middle school and you have 95 minutes, you do the same thing. You need to take the class frame and break it down so that you understand how long you have to do something. Because one of the problems in teaching is that if you run too long in class because it was just easy to do it, or you really weren't planning, so it's just easy to just, I'll just push this whole activity for 45, 55, I don't know, maybe 110 minutes, and they'll be fine. Oh, no. Because really what you want to think about is that no activity should go more than 20 minutes. And really your drop-dead time frame, depending on how old the kid is probably 10 to 15. You have to change it up. You can't spend too long, because what's going to start happening is you're going to start having people, you know, being fidgety. They're going to start causing you issues. You're going to have other things happen. So the point is that you want to block and chunk your time. Now, one more warning about blocking and chunking the time. When you sit down to do this, you don't want to do the same pattern every day. Oh, no. That is just a huge no-no, because then what happens is that you have the whole Pavlov's dog experiment starting to go all over again. And what the kids start doing is going, this part of the class is only supposed to last 5 minutes. We are now on a six minute, which means you have gone over your time limit, and they will remind you of it. This is only supposed to last 5 minutes. You need to move on. Oh, hey, excuse me. Yes, miss, aren't we supposed to stop already? Because you're now at 11 minutes. See, that's the problem with doing it always the same way, because if you do that, they're going to catch you in it, and then they're going to expect it that way all the time. And that's when you really help kids get bored. Oh, good. Guess what we're going to do next? And class, for the next 10 minutes, we're going to do yeah. We always do that. Well, there's another warning with blocking and chunking time. You know, sometimes what teachers will do, it's well-meaning, but what they'll do is they'll set a clock so that kids can see it, like one of those electronic clocks you can find online. Yeah, and they'll project it onto that smart board, or they'll project it onto the wall, and the kids can see it counting down. This is how much time we have in this section. Well, once again, Pavlov's dog thing, you're going to have them start salivating as they get close to the end of that countdown. Some are going to start packing up. Some are going to go, it's over in just 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, yay! Yeah, you get yourself stuck. Don't do that. One of the cool things about technology we have today is you can put, you know, you carry phones, you carry other devices. Some of you have those smartwatches, whatever. Set a little timer on it so that it just buzzes your wrist, or buzzes in your pocket. And that way it reminds you that it's getting close for you to move on. Because we all know one of the things about daily lesson plans is that you've got to keep track of the time, because your time can be gone just like that. There we go, that's better. And it can be. Therefore, by blocking and chunking your time, you pay attention to where you need to spend a little amount of time, where you need to spend a lot amount of time, and where you need to spend some time reviewing, and you're following the way you've laid it out. All right. So number two is block and chunk the time. All right. Number one thought about success with daily lesson plans is making sure that you write down what you're trying to accomplish each day. So we got write down what you're going to try and accomplish each day, and we got block and chunk time. So my third thought about success with daily lesson plans is think engagement. You know what I mean? How are you going to get them engaged in the class? And you want to have a little box on there where you can write, this is how I'm going to try and get them engaged. Whether it's with hooking them in the front, you know, hooking them into the, you know, dragging them into what you're doing, or, you know, how to keep their interest. And you make notes in here about that. Right? You know, just like a stand-up comic, you got to figure out, because sometimes your audience is a little tough, and you got to figure out, well, if that didn't work, here's plan B. You know, sometimes you just got to do that. And that's a big part of what we do, is we are flexible here with what we do. We have to be. If you're not and you just drive forward, you're going to lose the kids. So you want to think engagement and how you're going to accomplish it. And you want to have that box where you write that down, whether it's that you're you know, listening to advice from someone like Dave Burgess and, you know, the teach like a pirate series, or, you know, that you've got some other ideas out there about hooking the kids into your class. By the way, I get no remuneration for mentioning that book or any other book that you'll hear me mention down the road. So if number three is think engagement, number four is how will you know if they are getting it, right? You've got to have a little place where you think about this, because on your daily task, you want to make sure that you are stopping and saying, I'm not sure if I know whether they're following me or not. Therefore, I need to do something. Dun-da-da! And the dun-da-da is, this is a great place for ungraded formative assessment. You know, tickets in the middle of class, tickets out, you know, in the as you enter the class, tickets as you exit the class, that type of thing. Or using mini whiteboards to get them to answer a question right there in front of you so you can walk around and see where they get it. There's all kinds of ways. And I'll make sure I link you to one of those resources in my show notes. But the point is that you've got to put in a little box about making sure that you stop to figure out if they're following you, if they're getting it. You know, are you checking for understanding? That's what this box is all about. Great place for ungraded formative assessment. Number five, specific activities for expanding understanding of content vocabulary. You're going to hear me over and over, you know, push this issue here, because too often what happens is that we think the kids are just following it, or they just get it because they read it, or because we mention it, or because we've said it one time, or even two times. They think that, you know, sometimes adults really think that the kids get the words and can use the words. Well, that's usually not the case. Some of them might be looking at you going, yes, I've got this, when actually inside they're going, I don't know what she's talking about. Yeah. Well, if you don't create activities for helping them connect the content vocabulary, to learn the content vocabulary, to use and understand the content vocabulary, it's not happening. There are appropriate ways to do this. And you've heard me mention her books before. Laura Robb's Vocabulary's Comprehension is a great book for doing this. It has what she calls her Big Ten, and these lesson plans, you can make them your own. I started to say manipulate and make them your own, because you can. There they are, and you can read them, put them in your lesson plans tonight, and put them in action tomorrow. That's how simple they are to use and start helping to increase your students' vocabulary and your content words. Exactly. There are lots of practices out there that people keep doing that aren't appropriate and do nothing except make kids wish that you had never talked to them about these words. So one of the things you got to do is you got to have specific activities for expanding understanding of content vocabulary. And so that's number five that goes in your daily lesson plans. See, do you understand that this is why daily lesson plans take time? You need to do them. After you do your unit plans, you need to take time to spread out and do at least a week, if not 2 weeks at a time. Now, one of the things that's going to happen is you're going to find out rather quickly is that you may not have to be able to stick with that daily plan, but we'll come back to that in just a minute. So if number five has to do with vocabulary, number six has to do with how you will begin and close, because you just want to make a quick note about it on your daily lesson plan. You want to say that this is, I will begin by, you know, doing an overview of what we did the day before, or here's my overview and here's what we're going to do now. And we want to close by doing a summary and then maybe even a preview of the next day's activities. But you want to get their thinking along the lines of, welcome to my class, and here we go. This is what we did yesterday. This is how we're going to connect it to today. And at the end of class, you want to summarize it. You want to say, here's what we learned today. And this is where we're going tomorrow. Number seven, you want to be flexible, because you got to be prepared to make adjustments. Just because you put it in writing in a daily lesson plan doesn't mean that you're going to get to it, nor does it mean that the class is ready to get to it. Or it may be that they're way beyond what you decided to do and you need to accelerate your plans. Whatever the case, you got to be ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You got to be ready to do it a little differently. You got to be flexible. So you create these plans, and it may be that you got to slow yourself way down or speed yourself way up. Yeah, so be flexible. Well, number eight is use small group activities and learning centers to provide opportunities for practice, reinforcement, and acceleration. That's right. Small group activities and learning centers lend themselves perfectly for you to provide opportunities for practice, reinforcement, and acceleration. And finally, my ninth thought about success with daily lesson plans is daily plans should always, always be driven by individual student needs. And what I mean by that is in somewhere along the lines, when you're doing these plans, you're going to write the names of students in there that you need to pay attention to. Like, for example, yesterday, I'm not sure Steve was really following along. Or in the formative assessment, I noticed that Steve struggled with this answer. You're looking for that, and you're going to make note of it. I think that Steve really gets this, and he's moving forward. Hey, I'll go with that. And so I've got to accelerate him. Or maybe I need to do some group activity so that then I can spend a little bit of time with the kids that may be going backwards in their understanding. Do you see what I mean? So you got to make some personal notes in your daily lesson plans about the kids in your classes. Whether it's that you teach the same kids all day, whether it's that you teach, just a few kids at a time, whether it's that you have, five, six, seven classes all day. In your daily plans, that's where you make notes about how you work with individual students and their needs. It's important, all right? And there are lots of templates that you can use for this. The way, shape, form that you do it is not as important as including these 9 thoughts about being successful with daily plans. You have to plan. If you're not planning, the likelihood that you're going to be able to address what you need to address is that you're going to get stuck on some story, you're going to use up your time, and before you know it, it's the end of the semester. It's the end of the school year. It's the end of everything. Ta-da! Yeah, but that's why we plan. So we make sure that we address what we need to address. And along the way, when we have to take those detours, we know that we got to go back and get that other stuff that we didn't address yet. So today I had my 9 thoughts about being successful with daily plans. In the show notes, I'll include some links to some templates and some other areas that might be helpful, other resources that might be helpful to you. Just remember, planning can be your friend. I know that sounds silly, but I'm right. You're not planning because somebody's making you do it. You shouldn't be planning because it's just a requirement. You should be planning because planning helps you be successful with the kids, and success with the kids means that you're personalizing instruction, which means that you're going to help them achieve their dreams. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. The opinions expressed on Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 are those of the guests and host. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is intended to share ideas, advice, and suggestions for classroom teachers and school administrators. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is produced for educational purposes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll share it with your friends.